We begin hour number two of Sports 180. Thank you for being with us on this Thursday afternoon. We'll continue telling you about what's going on at Second Harvest Food Bank of East Tennessee. It's May Day. You can make your donations online at secondharvestetn.org. And we'll tell you more about what that organization does to help so many people, including children, right here in East Tennessee. We are pleased to begin this hour welcoming to the show Ben Golliver, covers the NBA for the Washington Post and is author of the new book, Bubble Ball, Inside the NBA's Fight to Save a Season. Ben, thank you for taking some time to join us. What's more exhausting, covering the bubble or doing a book media tour?
Well, hey, look, I love the opportunity to talk about this book because I put my heart and soul into it for basically a year straight. You know, I was living in Disney World for 93 days. I got out of there, took 1 week off, and then immediately started writing this book. I spent about 2 months chaining my computer, putting the whole thing together because I wanted it to be fresh. I wanted it to feel like you were really still in the bubble there with me. And so I'm loving it, actually. Honestly, I could talk about it all day.
Ben, when you were in the bubble, were you just over it? Like, what was the threshold that you hit, and what emotions did you feel at that point?
Well, look, it was hard. I want to vouch for everything the players said about it. I know there was some criticism from the outside, people saying, oh, it's just millionaire athletes stuck in Disney World. They're just whining. That wasn't the case. I mean, this was a really, really restrictive environment. I had to wear tracking devices that would beep if I got too close to people. I had to wear an electronic bracelet around my wrist that got me in and out of my room and into the games. They could track me all around campus. There was four layers of security. So NBA security, Disney security, local police, sheriff's deputies. And on top of that, there was video surveillance, and they caught one of the players trying to bring somebody into his hotel room, and he got kicked out. So there was a real Big Brother feel that kind of just weighed on you the entire time you were there. I remember there was one protest after we were there for a couple months where people actually came up and kind of stormed the media bus, and they were protesting a shooting that happened in Florida. And I just remember thinking, you know, during that experience, like, this windshield of the bus is separating us from the outside world, and everything that's going on out there, their protests, their feelings, that's like a completely different planet. There was no way for us to kind of have conversations with the protesters because, of course, that would have compromised our health and safety because of the pandemic. They probably would have thrown us back into a quarantine period. So, look, there was a lot of really challenging moments there, but, I mean, ultimately it was also really rewarding. You know, I had a courtside seat like Rihanna or Jack Nicholson. I was, you know, snooping on all the trash talk on the court. I mean, we were sitting right there during the middle of the playoffs, and that was just a thrill for me as a writer and a guy who loves the sports. I mean, to me, it was the sacrifices were all worth it because we got to see such great action up close.
Yeah, and that was at a time, of course, where we weren't getting all the sports that we are now that are back. We're talking to Ben Golliver with the Washington Post. His book is Bubble Ball, Inside the NBA Fight to Save a Season. What were some of the main factors in either making it happen once they got there and then also keeping it alive, because there were some hurdles even after play began in the bubble to make sure they did continue to play?
Well, look, I'm not going to beat around the bush. I mean, the main factor was money, right? These guys were losing billions of dollars by not being able to play games. And so the motivation from both the league and the players was to keep the paychecks going, to try to find some way to save this thing so that they could fulfill their obligations to their TV partners. They had to put games on television. So once they got down there, it just became a matter of how do you keep the players safe? How can we make sure that this bubble doesn't get penetrated in a way that, you know, could potentially shut the playoffs down? And so that led to daily testing, masks everywhere you went, all the kind of tracking that I was describing earlier. You really weren't allowed to eat in group settings together when you were there. I mean, they really wanted us to spread out, at least be outside if you were eating meals. And, you know, you add all those rules up together, and it worked. I mean, nobody tested positive the entire time we were there, and they succeeded in crowning a champion, which was a really big accomplishment because this was the NBA's 74th season, and they had crowned a champion every year before that, right? So they wanted to keep that streak alive. So ultimately, I think it was, you know, when there's a will, there's a way. And in this case, the will was billions of dollars. And the NBA had a lot of resources and a lot of ingenuity. They put their minds together with the Players Union, as well as, you know, Disney and ESPN and TNT. And they pulled off what I think in 20 years, people are going to say was just an incredible achievement, right? I mean, LeBron James wins a title at Disney World. That seems nuts. And we just saw it happen last October, right? Imagine what that's going to feel like when we fast forward 20 years.
Yeah, this is way above my pay grade, but do you have a good mental grasp of just everything that went into making this happen and how huge of an undertaking it was? Like, I know you just touched on it there, but I mean, it's a big reflection to be able to do, to be able to execute something like this, right?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I try to lay out all the specifics in the book. I mean, this was months of negotiations. It cost them $200 million to operate and build the bubble in the first place. They had to basically buy out, you know, three separate Disney hotels for the players and the teams, plus additional hotel rooms for staffers and media members like myself. They had to secure the entire perimeter so that no one could go in, no one could go out. They had to set up a massive shipping depot, which received, you know, basically tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of packages over the course of 3 months, because all the players wanted to buy stuff off Amazon and everywhere else, right? They had to clear out, you know, three courts that they used for the actual games. They turned a whole bunch of Disney ballrooms that might be used for like sales conferences or weddings. They turned those into the practice facilities, and they brought 22 teams and more than 300 players down there, and they tested everybody every single day. So hopefully that gives you an idea of the scale and the scope of this thing. It was no joke, and they were really on their P's and Q's with everything. It was amazing how efficient the entire process was. And I mean, the major complaints we had was like the food wasn't really that great. And, you know, we got bored because there was a little bit of Groundhog Day element to like every day being the same type of grind. But otherwise, you know, you add up, you know, the in terms of games being played on time, no games were postponed for health reasons, and the champion was crowned. And ultimately, there was even a title celebration where LeBron James is kind of spraying me with champagne. And, you know, the media got in on a little bit of the fun and the excitement of everybody getting to go home at the end, too. So, you know, to me, when I look back on it, I think it was a 10 out of 10 execution. Now, this season has been much rockier with players testing positive and postponed games and all that kind of stuff. But I look back on the bubble as just being, you know, basically this flawless experiment, even as challenging as it was, and nobody wanted to do it again. They really nailed it.
We're talking to Ben Golliver. His book is Bubble Ball. He covers the NBA for the Washington Post as well. And you mentioned this season. Do you think the quick turnaround that they decided they needed to do for this year, has how much has that affected this season? There have been injuries, guys in and out. What's the impact from how last year's schedule has changed to this season?
Well, there's no question there's been a, you know, a bubble hangover for a lot of these great teams, right? I mean, the Lakers, Nuggets, Celtics, and Heat, the last four teams standing in the bubble, have all had some pretty choppy seasons. Now, Denver's going on a very nice run here, but unfortunately they lost Jamal Murray to injury. But you look at the Lakers, I mean, they might wind up the seven seed. There's no way if they're having a normal offseason with time to recover and everything else, and no positive tests and no absences like they're dealing with right now with Dennis Schroeder, there's no way they're the seven seed coming off their title, right? So I think this year is always going to be viewed as that that post-bubble season. Just because the turnaround was so quick. And look, I felt it too. I mean, I was cranking this book out as fast as I possibly could. And yet the next season had already started. I was covering the draft. I was covering free agency. I mean, it was a real whirlwind there last fall. And so, you know, I'm just hoping, though, that we're going to get a really solid postseason. I think the vaccination stuff is crucial. Not only does that help get more fans into the building, it also keeps the players on the court, right? You know, you don't have to worry about the contact tracing protocols and all that stuff. You want to see the stars play in the biggest games. I'm really hopeful that by the time the playoffs start here in a couple of weeks, we're going to have guys like James Harden, LeBron back on the court, and we're going to see an awesome playoffs.
Ben, my most important question, I saved it for last, was Dwight Howard really at that party alone in the bubble? Can you vouch for him that there was at least a couple of other people there, or was he just riding solo?
Well, look, I mean, I would trust your eyes with that video. I would also say they created a bubble within the bubble to protect the players from everybody else. So I couldn't just go wander over to that pool party and keep Dwight Howard company. Like, they had some rules on that stuff to kind of to keep people separate. But that was part of the challenge down there, was what can you do to appeal to players, right? And I think the players were very grateful to have barbers and hair braiders and guys like that who were actually able to live in the bubble and help them out. But in terms of like personal trainers, which a lot of guys have, personal chefs, that was not allowed. You know, certainly having a party with only your teammates, you know, at a dance party, that might not be as fun as going to Magic City like Lou Williams, right? I mean, you can understand why he might feel the temptation to go do that. So there was fishing trips. I think there was a few other things they were able to do to line up for the players. I think some guys were able to golf. But, you know, ultimately this was a business trip for everybody, a very long business trip. You know, they were playing a lot of games almost every other day. They were staying very busy. And for me personally, as I mentioned in the book, I went to every single playoff game from the second round on. So if you want an up-close view at what those playoffs were like, I was there at all the big moments, and I try to describe them in detail.
He's one of the best covering the NBA for the Washington Post. He's Ben Golliver, and that's why you should check out his book, Bubble Ball, Inside the NBA's Fight to Save a Season. Hey, Ben, thank you for taking some time to join us today. We really appreciate it.
Always my pleasure, guys. Take care.
Ben Golliver right here on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Bunch of stories out of the big story of Bubble Ball. We will come back here on Sports 180. It is May Day. We are supporting Second Harvest Food Bank of East Tennessee. We will tell you why coming up next here on 99.1, the Sports Animal.